This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm Mike Luoma. We're about to get into chapters 69, 70, and 71 of The Starseeds of Earth. Alibi Jones has begun his grand operation. He's moving the giant asteroid that's been partially hollowed out into his home base, the Hornet's Nest. It's a former safe outpost, Solar Alliance Interplanetary Federation outpost. Turned into a renegade space station, basically. People have kind of flocked to the isolated outpost as kind of a haven away from the rigid ways of the Greater Ta and the Solar Alliance. Now, Alibi has gathered a team together to help in this effort. Pilots and ships to surround the Hornet's Nest and try to help keep stray asteroids from hitting it as they move. Katie's back to help. She's brought her buddy DJ along. Emily is, of course, helping coordinate everything. Those three women are getting together in our first chapter this week. First of three. And speaking of getting together, there most definitely is a hookup in the next chapter. I'm not going to say who. And then, it's time to get the show on the road. Moving day arrives, in the third chapter, as that all comes up on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, a little bit of news. Happy to report that Federico and I were in touch yesterday as he's working on the art for the upcoming Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition. It appears that is really going to happen. I've started trying to see if I can put something else together, too, of a different sort. But it's far too early in the process to say anything about that. Don't want to even jinx it. In other book news, I released a free new book to patrons this week. Glow in the Dark Radio patrons are getting a free PDF ebook of the text of the patrons-only podcast, The Archmage's History of the Future. This is the future history for the world of Vatican Assassin and Alibi Jones. They've been getting it in podcast form, so now I'm giving it to them as a PDF ebook. Now, I wish I could give away free print copies, but I don't really have a budget for that. And frankly, I'll tell you, Starseeds of Earth has not sold great. It's kind of disappointing, but I'm blaming the pandemic. Because I can. It sold okay, and, you know, you guys, thank you. Thank you for being fans, you know, and reading it. But at any rate, doesn't leave me a lot of funds to play around with for promotional stuff, so sorry. But Lulu.com seems to have gotten their act together. Thank you. So what I'm doing is I made the least expensive print-on-demand paperback I could. It's only 46 pages, The Archmage's History of the Future, and that's just $4. So if you're the print copy kind of person, you can get it for $4. If you're a patron, it's available to patrons only. Now, if you're interested in becoming a patron, just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And you can do that for $2, $5, or $10 a month. And it helps support the podcast. Helps pay for all the different fees that come into play for websites and hosting, etc. So far, it hasn't quite gone beyond anything like that, but it does that at the very least and helps keep the lights on, you know? So if you'd like to become a patron, again, that address is patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And patrons do get cool free things like a free ebook and the chance to get the exclusive print book if they want. If you want, you're probably a patron. Are you a patron? Thank you. If you are, please, thank you. In other book news, the Small Press Mega Sale continues at Comixology. If you've never read comics on your phone or your tablet, Comixology is the best way. I really think so, because they do this thing called the guided view, which like zooms into each panel and the words so you can read along and it flows. It's just really cool. I like seeing my books in it. And all my books are on sale at Comixology right now, this month, as part of this Small Press Mega Sale. The individual issues and the graphic novels. For example, Good Samaritan Unto Dust, the graphic novel, the 2-in-1, is usually $2.99. It's on sale for just 99 cents. Easiest way to get to that is to just go to glowinthedarkradio.com. I've got a link right at the top of the page there. It's also a place to go to get yourself Star Seeds of Earth if you'd like a copy. It is on sale now, paperback, ebook, audiobook. And remember, if you have read it, please think about leaving a review. Reviews really are very helpful. I've got a couple so far, but I could use more. Please and thank you. And that's book news. How about we get into the story? Chapter 69 of The Star Seeds of Earth is on the way next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Are you having trouble keeping up with the ebbs and flows of modern geekery? Is the real world holding you back from knowing what is happening in the geeky world? To answer these and other personal problems brought in by your friends, gaming group, and loved ones, Geek Radio Daily presents daily informational sessions brought to you by the wonderful Billy Flynn, the Flynnstress, and podcasting's Rich Siegfried. They contain such helpful segments as history, geek birthdays, box office results, the latest in DVD and Blu-ray, video game and comic releases. Why, they also have a weekly show hosted by the wonderful Billy Flynn and the Flynnstress, which includes interviews and commentary. And to make sure you are informed, Geek Radio Daily also provides you with your daily dose of geek news to make sure you know more than that jerk know-it-all Steve. Visit us at geekradiodaily.com. That's right, Geek Radio Daily. All the geek without the weight. Now available in fine Corinthian leather.
Now here's Chapter 69 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Emily found Katie and DJ in the galley. The original mess hall for the Hornet's Nest now served as a sort of company lunchroom for those who worked for the nest, and Katie and DJ were enjoying a meal there as a perk of working on the new project. "Mind if I join you?" Emily asked. "Sure, sit down," DJ said. "Where's Alibi?" Katie asked. "I don't know," Emily said. "You mean you two aren't a thing?" Katie asked. "You were almost finishing each other's sentences," DJ said. "Cute." Emily hoped she wasn't blushing. She didn't think she blushed. And she was never cute. Hated that word. Maybe she shouldn't have sat down with these two women. "We are not a thing," Emily said. "Sometimes I think we might become a thing. Other times, I'm just not sure. He gets weird about things." "Don't I know it," Katie said. "You, Emily." "You?" DJ asked Katie, surprised. "You and Alibi Jones." "We had a thing," Katie said, "Alibi and I. A while ago now. He saved my life, maybe a few times. But I'm not really a people person. Relationships and me don't mix. I don't want anyone depending on me or want anyone to think I'm depending on them. His aunt's a bit much, too. She's his mom. Don't let the aunt thing fool you. She raised him. She can be a lot, but she hasn't been around that much lately, Emily said. She's hooked up with Billy Gentry, of all people. Really? DJ said, surprised. I would not have seen that coming, Katie said. So that's why he's here. She likes the bad boys, Emily said. She laughed. Katie stared at her for a moment. Then she burst out laughing. What's so funny? DJ asked. You'd have to know her, Katie said. Alibis on Emily. That older guy at the briefing. That was the Billy Gentry then, right? Gentry? Emily asked. You mean just earlier? Yeah, DJ said. Not just a guy with the same name. That's kind of what I thought. I was like thinking, same name as the governor. Wow, that must be annoying. But then, it's him. Yep, Emily said. She laughed. Krish calls him Governor Godfather. And he's on our side? DJ asked. Let's hope so, Emily said. So, what is Alibi up to tonight? Katie asked again. I really don't know, Emily said. Probably just hanging out at home. He said he wanted to be left alone. She was a little annoyed to be asked again, so she changed the subject. Are you still assassinating? How's tricks? Please don't ever call them tricks, Katie said, again. Sorry, Emily said. She tried again. How is business? Fine, Katie said. I'm building my reputation, one job at a time. Don't suppose there's any other way, Emily said. She turned to DJ. Are you an assassin too? DJ laughed. But Katie spoke first. We're called bounty hunters, Emily, Katie said. DJ here is more of a mercenary, professional soldier. Oh, really? Emily said. I used to be a grunt, safe, regular infantry. No kidding, DJ said. You seem way too smart to be a grunt. Thanks, Emily said, I think. Heh, DJ smiled. I suppose us smart grunts figure out how not to be grunts rather quickly. Intelligence is never appreciated in the infantry, Emily said. I don't know, DJ, Katie said. If you're so smart, why aren't you going for the big bounty hunter dollars? DJ grinned. You've already discovered the problem there, DJ said. There may be big bucks. I don't see you rolling in dough. But sure, maybe there are. But how many jobs are there? Bounty hunters go after single individuals, usually. You're working one by one by one, always chasing the next job, and in competition with others, who also happen to be professional killers. Tough crowd. Yep, Katie said. But there are always wars going on. People always need soldiers, DJ said. Plus, I don't have some fancy alien wraparound killing goo at my command. Please don't call the Rode substance goo, DJ, Katie said. They are my sentient partners, and they want you to understand the substance is simply their physical manifestation. They're mostly energy beings. Energy beings who also do things like rip apart secta, DJ said. Her eyes went wide. That was pretty sick. What? Emily asked. A secta? Katie frowned. We shouldn't talk about this, Katie said. What? DJ said. She's a soldier. One of us. You killed a secta? Emily prodded Katie. Can't discuss it, Katie said. There's, like, a code. Icon backed her up on her last job. We have complementary skills. Work together some, DJ said. You should have seen it. The good Rode substance shot about 7 pseudo-arms off of her. Each one grabbed a limb of the secta, or its head, and pulled. The Rode went a little overboard, Katie said, relenting a little. After I pictured the way we pull apart lobster and crab legs to eat them. Ew, Emily said. visualizing the kill. As impressive as they are, I'm still not sure I could wear the rodé around the way you do, DJ said.
I don't wear them, though, Katie said. This is coexistence, not wardrobe choice. And not just a weapon, either.
Yes, DJ said. Well, you and your coexisting partners can do some scary shit.
Emily yawned.
I'm sorry, she said, just realizing how exhausted I am from all the planning and everything. She stood up.
Thanks for letting me hang with you some.
Good to know a fellow grunt, DJ.
See you tomorrow, grunt, DJ joked.
Good night, Emily said. See you both tomorrow.
Night, Katie said. Emily left the table. As she walked away, she heard Katie, again.
What do you suppose Alibi Jones is up to?
Emily rolled her eyes. Chapter 70.
Who is it? Alibi asked the door alarm.
Laurel Eden, came the response.
Open, Alibi said.
The door slid open. Laurel was standing outside.
Hey, Laurel said. Can I come in?
I kind of want to be alone right now, Alibi said. Is it important?
What is she doing here? Maybe, she said. Depends on your perspective.
Okay, he said. But just for a few minutes, okay?
She walked into his apartment, and the door slid shut behind her. Security, lock and alarm, Alibi said.
So, what do you want, Laurel?
She stepped up next to him and unzipped her flight jumpsuit down past her navel. Then, she took his right hand in her left and guided it to her skin, to her side, the curve of her breast, and, with her right hand, she reached up behind his neck and pulled him towards her to kiss him hard and deeply. As she let up on the kiss, he drew away a little, let his hand slide off her breast, but he kept it on her side. He looked her in the eyes.
What are you doing? He asked her. I want a fresh start with you, she said.
Like this?
Like this, she said,
and leaned in to kiss him again. He returned her energy this time, so she shrugged the jumpsuit off her shoulders. Alibi's hand slid up, his thumb playing across her hardening nipple, his other hand on her back. She reached over and pulled down on the zipper of Alibi's jumpsuit. He broke off the kiss.
We shouldn't be doing this, Alibi said.
Why do you say that?
I feel guilty.
Why? You're not seeing anyone, you said.
She looked him in the eyes.
Are you?
No.
Not Emily?
No.
Well, it's clear Emily likes you. Anyone can see that,
Laurel said.
They can?
Well, yeah, she said. Or maybe other women see it. But that shouldn't make you feel guilty.
She zipped the jumpsuit down past her hips and leaned in and kissed him again. With a little shake, the jumper fell off the rest of the way.
Come on, she said, breaking off the kiss but holding on to his hand. Where's your bedroom?
Down that hallway, he said.
She pulled him by the hand. With her naked skin glistening with a hint of perspiration, she led him down the hall to the bedroom.
She does have a shapely butt.
Chapter 71.
Laura wasn't there in the morning when Alibi woke up. With her gone in the bright light of day, the night seemed like a dream. A hot and steamy dream.
What did I do?
He hit the refresher to get ready for the big day ahead. Laurel dominated his thoughts.
How serious is she? Was it just a fling? Or is she going to want to move in or something? How will Emily take it? Who says she has to know? Why do I feel so guilty? Where did Laurel go?
He sent her a good morning over the wand. Then Alibi dressed and headed up to the control room to wish Emily and the team staying inside the nest during the move good luck.
"Hello, Alibi," Emily said. She sounded cheerful, hopeful.
"Hi, Emily," Alibi said. "Ready for the big move?"
"You sound different," she said.
"I'm pumped up for today, I guess," he said.
"No, that's not it," she said.
"Doesn't matter."
She frowned.
"What does that mean?"
He turned away from her a little, so he could address everyone.
"I just wanted to wish everybody here good luck today," Alibi proclaimed in a loud voice, so everyone in the control room could hear him.
"Thanks! Thank you, Alibi! Thank you!"
the folks around the room responded. He smiled and turned back to Emily.
"I'm going to head to the AD Foster and start running through checklists," Alibi said. "Have any of the other pilots checked in yet?"
"Not yet," she said. "But it's early."
"Let me know as they do, then," he said. "Try to stagger their departure time so they aren't all obviously working together."
"Yeah, that's what I was thinking," Emily said.
"See? Same wavelength," Alibi joked.
"I don't think so, Alibi," she said. She frowned again. "Just makes sense."
"Okay."
He found himself frowning and tried to smile. He got halfway there, and then turned and walked out of the control room. He was tempted to turn back and look up behind him as he walked away to see if there was a big glowing sign that said "Guilty" hanging over his head.
The way Emily was acting? It's like she knew, as soon as I opened my mouth. What did I say?
He pulled out his wand. No reply from Laurel, either.
Great start to the day.
He headed down to the private ship bays for the Foster and saw his Aunt Anita standing with Gentry. They spotted him before he could avoid them. He waved and walked over. He needed to play nice for now. He needed Gentry to pilot a ship.
"Good morning," Alibi said as he approached.
"Captain Gentry reporting for duty,"
Gentry said, and he mock saluted Alibi.
"William," Anita said, in that tone of voice that only needed your name to communicate volumes of displeasure. Alibi knew that tone of voice all too well. Truth be told, he kind of missed it.
"Anita,"
Gentry said back, gentle but stern. She ignored him.
"You just missed that unpleasant woman," Anita said.
"Laura Leedon was just here," Gentry said, "heading to her ship."
"Oh," Alibi said.
That seems deliberate. Not a great sign.
"Alibi," his aunt said, his name a question.
"You got a thing for her now?"
Gentry said.
"William," Anita said again. "I suppose you could do worse," Gentry said.
"But watch out. The woman only really loves cash money. I don't know. Maybe you should go for her."
"William,"
Anita sounded authentically angry now.
"What? It would stop her from bothering us."
"You think so? What if she went after poor Alibi just to bother us? Show up at family functions and dinners?"
"Stay away from her, kid. She's trouble,"
Gentry said. He winked at Alibi.
"Yeah, none of this is too creepy. What have I gotten myself into?"
"I'll remember that," Alibi said.
"Be careful out there, Alibi," his aunt said. "And please, watch out for William. I've asked him to do the same for you. I know you two have many differences, but for today, please watch each other's asses. You're the most important beings in my universe. Do it for me, okay?"
Alibi nodded.
"Promise me," she said. "Both of you, now, say it."
"I promise," Alibi said.
"Me too, I promise,"
Gentry said.
"That you'll look out for each other,"
she said.
"Say it. Say you'll promise to look out for each other."
"I promise I'll look out for him," Alibi said. "I promise I'll look out for him," Gentry said. "You happy with that?"
"Yes," she said. She smiled. "I wish either of you meant it, but it's at least a start.
I'll talk to you over the comm next, Alibi said. He walked off down the row of bays towards his ship.
That was Chapter 71 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
We are on the verge. We're going to be heading into space with Alibi and the others as they begin to move the hornet's nest on our next episode. We'll have two chapters, about 18 minutes of story. Chapters 72 and 73, these are big chapters coming up. There's a major act of betrayal on the way that fucks Alibi up. Makes him realize he's fucked up big time. People start getting killed. Someone else appears on the scene to say hello, and not pleasantly. Ship begins to go down. So that's coming up. That's our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Two more chapters of The Starseeds of Earth as they begin to move the hornet's nest. Here's a fun fact. Listening to that episode, if you heard DJ there, Katie's friend, if you're curious, DJ is kind of a tribute, kind of based on Hunter, the character Hunter in Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere, the 1996 BBC version, as played by Tanya Moody. I loved her character. She was just awesome. Kick butt. And as it turns out, Tanya's been in space. Tanya Moody recently played General Parnady in The Rise of Skywalker. From Neil Gaiman to Star Wars. It's like, that is a cool career, Tanya Moody. But I did. I loved her as Hunter. I thought Hunter was great. And so DJ in my book is a little bit of a Hunter. A little bit. There are similarities. Quick recap on news. Federico Guillen doing the artwork for that special 15th anniversary edition of Vatican Assassin, the novel. He's doing the new cover. And he's going to do like 10 interior illustrations throughout the story. So psyched for that. And patrons just got a new book, the 46-page PDF ebook of the Archmage's History of the Future. And the chance to pick it up as a print book for $4 if they want. And if you want to become a patron and get stuff like that, just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And you can become a patron for $2 or $5 or $10 a month. Help support this podcast and my efforts. And check out some digital comics. The Small Press Mega Sale continues going on this month at Comixology. All the details are at my homepage at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com, MikeLuoma.com. Little banner right at the top will take you right there to where the books are. That's all for this week. I am Mike Luoma, and I thank you for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at acompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.